Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. Our topic today is the federal spending power, and our guest is Peter Grafe, an associate professor at the Department of Political Science at McMaster University. Dr. Grafe is also the author of The Spending Power and Federal Social Policy Leadership, A Perspective View, published by the IRPP in a special edition of Policy Matters. Welcome, Dr. Grafe.
Good afternoon.
Why is federal spending power such a contentious issue?
I think it's a contentious issue because it helps define the way that Canada works as a federation, and particularly how we define our social citizenship. In the sense of federal spending power, it figures nowhere in the Constitution, but it's under, at least not as it's written, it's come about and it's been understood through a certain amount of judicial review. But essentially, what the federal spending power has allowed the federal government to do is introduce a series of policies in areas which would appear to be in provincial jurisdiction under the Constitution. So by claiming the power to spend money as it sees fit, the federal government has been able to convince and compel provinces to introduce relatively similar social policies across the country. So what it's allowed the federal government to do is create a certain sense of shared Canadian citizenship, even in areas where, due to the Constitution, we might have expected Canadians in Ontario to have a different set of entitlements or of policies than, say, citizens in Quebec or Nova Scotia or Alberta. So what it served to do historically is create a sense of shared Canadian social purpose, but at the expense of a recognition of federal diversity or of the ability of Canadians in different parts of the country to come to different decisions about the sort of social policies they want. So the issue of the spending power is right at the heart of the extent to which we think of ourselves first and foremost as Canadians sharing rights with other Canadians versus the idea that Canadians are a federal people and that we value a good deal of regional diversity in terms of the decisions we make about public policy.
In the 2007 speech from the throne, the Conservative government promised to introduce legislation to place limits on the use of the federal spending power. That hasn't happened. Are you optimistic that it will?
I don't really foresee it happening at this stage. As I noted in the paper, there are good reasons why the Conservative government might want a strong limit on the federal spending power, both in terms of the fact that it might play well in Quebec in their attempt to court nationalist voters. And it was revealed, in fact, in the 2006 federal election campaign as part of their strategy of open federalism to court those nationalist voters. But the surprise in the wording that the government put in the throne speech, although never brought about, was the weakness of that commitment. And indeed, the current Quebec government, a number of ministers have come out and said that they could never accept a proposal with that sort of wording. So I think ultimately the Conservative government decided that they were a bit caught between a rock and a hard place, that ultimately a spending power proposal that might play well in the rest of the country and in their own thinking about Canada is not one that ultimately would be particularly successful in Quebec. So it's not something that I would expect to recur.
Can you elaborate on why this issue would be of particular interest to Quebec and specifically to Quebec nationalists?
Well, it comes back to the earlier discussion of the trade-off between a shared Canadian social citizenship and the idea of Canada as a federal country with significant differences. For Quebec nationalists, what's really important is the deal that was struck in 1867 and the division of powers contained therein, with the idea that Quebec would be autonomous within its sphere of jurisdiction, which is another way of saying that Quebecers through the National Assembly in Quebec City would make decisions on fundamental issues of social policy that fall under provincial jurisdiction. The Quebec Nationalists have therefore always been very critical of the federal spending power to weigh that autonomy, that ability of Quebecers to make their own decisions, and places it in the federal parliament where they're at, you know, the current stage about one quarter of the voices. So in that context then, Quebec Nationalists have always been opposed to the federal spending power and have sought to limit it through constitutional amendment or to find other means of limiting the ability of the federal government to impose conditions on provinces through the spending power. So in a sense, Quebec nationalists are making a case for a particular understanding of federalism found back in 1867, the idea that Quebec would have the power and the autonomy to make decisions for Quebecers within the areas of jurisdiction and not be, in a sense, dissolved in a Canadian bath where we make decisions about social citizenship on a pan-Canadian basis.
Are there other provinces who would also benefit or be interested in this kind of autonomy, do you think?
At times, other provinces have made certain noises of that sort, but I don't think any of them have consistently opposed the federal spending power on the grounds of constitutional jurisdiction. Certainly, for instance, in the early 1990s, a number of the western provinces were quite critical of the use of the spending power for the federal government to intervene in areas of provincial jurisdiction. Although in those cases, I think it had more to do with the inefficiencies that would be caused by the overlap and duplication of both the provinces doing things in their areas of jurisdiction and then the federal government trying to do its own things through the spending power. So it was more a question of efficiency than of principle. And I think historically, although some other provinces have complained about the spending power, often their opposition is one of price rather than of principle. In other words, of trying to extract a better offer from the federal government in terms of more money or fewer conditions attached to that money, as opposed to saying that ultimately this is incompatible with our understanding of the political community. In other words, this is incompatible with a federal country where the provinces retain the right to make their own decisions with respect, say, to a health care policy or a social assistance policy.
Keith Banting, who also contributed to the special edition of Policy Matters, wrote that finding a magic formula that would contribute to reconciliation in the country as a whole was a formidable challenge. Do you agree?
I would tend to agree, and I think also in Hamish Telford's paper, which is part of this Policy Matters release, comes to somewhat similar conclusions about the difficulty of reconciling those visions. I think in my own contribution, I try to make a kind of broader point, and in some ways this is an old debate that we're stuck on, and in fact that the federal conservative government's proposal was stuck on, the idea of thinking about the federal spending power as some sort of exchange of federal money in return for the provinces following a certain number of conditions, and the difficulty then that produces in terms of the trade-off between the idea of a pan-Canadian social citizenship versus the rights and the abilities of provinces to do their own things in the areas of jurisdiction. But I think in a sense the federal spending power is now being used in a different form, which still raises those questions, but in different ways, and maybe moves us in slightly new directions on that front. So that it's not so much about spending the money to ensure that provinces follow conditions, so much as using the ability to spend money to get the provinces together along with the federal government around a common table, which provides the federal government a chance to set agendas and priorities for innovations in particular sectors, and might compel the provinces then too to produce reports for their citizens on their progress in that. And so that what you get in this new form of federal governance is not so much a focus on conditions as the ability of the federal government, as I tell my students, to herd the cats, to try and get the provinces moving in broadly similar directions. You know, again, here there's no magical formula, but in a sense we're almost moving beyond sort of the old formulas that the federal proposal set out in terms of how do you configure this exchange of money for provinces following conditions to a more complex set of arrangements around how the federal government is using money to get the provinces moving in similar directions and reporting to their citizens in particular fashions. And so in a sense, there's maybe a bit more flexibility in the current period, but a whole series of new difficulties about reconciling, on the one hand, a pan-Canadian sense of social rights and social citizenship, as well as the ability and rights of provinces to do their own thing.
Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Peter Grafe is an associate professor at McMaster University and the author of The Spending Power and Federal Social Policy Leadership, A Perspective View, published by the IRPP in a special edition of Policy Matters.